I see, okay.
It's something you can look at later.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Yeah, he's got his laptop there, yeah.
He's one of those types. I like paper.
You may know something about that.
All right, everybody, I'd like to welcome you to the Willow City Council meeting for Tuesday, January 27th, 2015. Gary, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
It'd be my honor, Mr. Mayor.
Salute.
Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Gary.
You're welcome.
Steve, could you do roll call, please? Or does Tim get the pleasure?
That's Tim's official duty.
Okay.
Apparently, I pronounce Dominic any better than anybody else does. Councilmember Williams.
Here.
Councilmember Yoder.
Here.
Councilmember Mello.
Here.
Councilmember Hansen.
Here.
Mayor Dominican.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Note from the audience, we have agendas on that table there, if you'd like to grab one if you don't have one. Next item is agenda review. I'll consider acceptance by motion by the City Council, but first, does anyone have any changes they want to make? Any changes from staff?
Nothing from staff, agenda? Your Honor. Thank you.
Any changes from the council members on tonight's agenda?
No. Nothing.
I'll move to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Approve the agenda as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Next item, there are no proclamations or presentations for tonight. We'll move on to the public comment section. Anyone from the public wishing to address the council tonight on a matter not on the agenda, now's your opportunity. We would like, if you care to address us, step forward to the microphone, state your name, and this is your opportunity. Any public comments? No, okay. Next item will be the consent agenda. We're just moving through this tonight. We have one item on the consent agenda. It is a general checking, payroll checks, and payroll direct deposit. Came with the agenda packet. Is there any discussion on the agenda packet or consent agenda that was submitted in the packet? If not, I'll look for a motion to approve.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Hansen, second by Councilmember Yoder, to approve the consent agenda as presented. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. We have no public hearings tonight or ordinances, so it brings us to item 10, items introduced by City Council or administrative staff for discussion purposes only. Steve, do you have
nothing
anything
from staff, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay, anything from City Council just for discussion only?
I have none.
Nothing?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Then we'll move on to next item, new business. And it looks like we're going to come to the fire chief. He'll do a presentation concerning the status of potential changes to ambulance services in Glenn County and surrounding areas, including the possible impacts to the Willows community and public safety response times. Chief Peabody,
good
I'll
evening,
give the floor
thank
to you.
You, members of the council. Part of my job is to bring forward issues that I see that are going to affect our citizens within the city. And one of the major issues that's going to come down the pike, and from what we gather, March 16th is going to take effect, is ambulance service is going to be reduced in Colusa County, and that's going to affect Glenn County due to a couple of different reasons. But first and foremost, I just want to kind of give you some background. Willows Fire right now responds to roughly 800 medical aids a year between Willows Rural and Willows City. Out of those, we are roughly waiting 16 to 20% of the times for an ambulance greater than 20 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes, which are secondary ambulances either Westside out of Orland or Williams out of Colusa County to come in when our ambulance is gone. Our ambulance here runs roughly 2,500 calls a year between transfers out of our hospital and the 911 calls in the surrounding areas. Glenn County right now, other than Westside, who has a contract or area that they provide, Southern Glenn County is an open county, which means nobody has a contract to provide services in our area. That also means that we could have an ambulance come and go. One of the reasons that we can get away without having a contract in our area is due to the fact that the ambulance that we have does the transfers between hospitals, between our hospital and Enlo. And that's how we can get away without having a contract to keep somebody here. That's worked for us very well in the past. As many of you know, in the past, we have also run into the area to where we've had an ambulance on Sunday, then Monday morning. On two instances that I'm aware of, ambulance was no longer here. So times are changing, things are starting to work. Business practices have changed as well. Right now in Colusa County, they are running roughly 1,500 calls a year between two ambulances, and Enlo has decided to reduce one ambulance for 24-hour period and one ambulance for a 10-hour shift. So basically what that means is at night, their ambulance is going to run, the 10-hour shift is going to start at 11 o'clock in the morning and run until 9 o'clock at night. After 9 o'clock at night, they're going to have one ambulance in Colusa County, and that ambulance is going to cover the entire county. When that ambulance has a call, they're going to move Willows to the Williams area to cover, which means we only have West Side left in our area, and then so on and so forth. So that's the issue that we're projecting right now, that we will be waiting on scenes 25% of the times now for ambulances, 40 minutes to 50 minutes for an ambulance to respond into our area. That's part of the issue. The other issue as well is the dispatch as well, since we provide dispatch for everybody other than Orland, Capay, and Hamilton City. As our firefighter is sitting on scene for upwards close to an hour, there will be no fire dispatching out of the Southern Fire Dispatch if no volunteers come back to cover the station. So there's a couple of areas that are going to be affected by this. Not only is other dispatches not going to be dispatched out, we will not be able to leave the scene to go back to the station because of the leaving the patient. We have to wait until an ambulance arrives. So there's a gentleman, Andrew, he is here as well. And he can add some pieces and parts in. He worked for an ambulance company out of the Bay Area, and we have met with him and talked about some models. I think there's some definite possibilities out there that we need to look at. This is not necessarily a City of Willows issue. This is a Glenn County issue, because it's also going to affect the Orland area, because they are no longer going to have ambulances, because everybody's going to shift around to cover their calls. This is a Glenn County and a Colusa County issue. I think this is a regional issue. It really needs to be looked at that way. It's not just a Willows issue or a Glenn County issue. So my hope out of all of this is hopefully that we can talk with the supervisors and start putting our heads together between the two counties and start looking for solutions. So, Andrew, would you like to add anything?
Could you come up to the microphone, please? Yeah, and could you state your name for the record, please? Thank you. That way the city clerk will be much happier when she does the minutes.
Andrew Pentecost, and I'm a paramedic, and like Lincoln said, I'm an administrator for a lot of ambulance service down the Bay Area. I moved over here a few years back, and one of the first things I noticed was the deployment strategy is inconsistent with the volume of calls they have and reimbursement that they get here in Glenn and Colusa County. The reimbursement is probably about 80% of the Medi-Cal, and the Medi-Cal pays about $177 per call on a $540 cost. So they end up billing out about $3,000 per call to try and recover the cost that it is to deploy the service. They're deploying a rural model, an urban model in a rural area, and a lot of areas that are rural like this that have low call volume and a large geography to cover. In other areas, very successfully, they do a primary first out, and they do very similar to the fire departments, actually. And so I suggested that model to Wayne a while back, you know, why don't they consider something like this? And so as we started talking, I've actually met with several leaders in Colusa County. The biggest problem I'm seeing personally is that Colusa County has never had to want the once they start understanding what that actually means to them, they might be a little more willing to consider the options. But at this point, there's few people that are interested in the concept. They just don't know what to do or what it means. Realistically, the cost to operate an ambulance is $300,000 to $400,000 a year for a 24-hour ambulance, and the reimbursements are right around $500 probably for one ambulance out there. So it's costing them too much money to have two ambulances. I suggested starting a JPA between the two counties, start a county-run third service, an ambulance service that has a frontline ambulance, one for Willows, one for Coosa County, and then have the other ambulances. The first ambulance go out, you call back and fill in the second one and so forth as you need to. The other issue we have is we have two hospitals here, Lincoln Hospital and Coosa, that have patients that present with a higher acuity than they can care for or specialized needs, and those patients have to be moved, and many of the time the providers, insurance providers, and healthcare providers won't approve any other transport other than the ambulance. So if you have your 911 resource dedicated 911 and you're unable to go pick up those patients, those hospitals have no other opportunities they have for those patients a bit speedily. And so the hospital down there is actually very concerned with what it's going to mean for them, because they won't be able to hold on to patients, especially higher acuity patients, overnight to wait for an ambulance to come back. Any questions?
Okay, thanks. Any questions by council for Fire Chief or for Andrew?
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, I have a couple of questions for Andrew. Yeah, thank you, Andrew. You were saying most of the runs are Medi-Cal. Related to Medi-Cal billing? Sure. So you said it's the company actually, they bill for 500 plus and receive 177 payment?
So the cost to operate is 500. For Inlo, their cost is 540. They're
per call?
A little bit on the higher end.
Okay.
A little bit cheaper, but their cost is 540. They bill 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
177.
Yeah. What percentage of the patients are Medi-Cal do you estimate?
Well, if there's 80% of care, I would say that they're probably in the 60% transport. That's a rough guess.
Yeah.
I don't have numbers.
Sure. I knew Medi-Cal was very low, paid very low, on the low end. But so you said, I was making notes when you were talking. You said that $300,000 to $400,000 worth of billing a year per one ambulance, roughly. And it costs about $500,000 to operate one ambulance. Is that what you said?
Somewhere in there.
Okay.
I'm
not holding you to it. Yeah, sure. So running one ambulance 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, you can net about $100,000. That's what you figure.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The cost is probably between $400,000 and $500,000.
To operate, right. Okay.
In Willows, they make money in Willows because they have the transfers between the hospitals. But if they have just 911, they would be making it. Okay. They would probably lose money.
Okay. All right. And did you say, you covered a lot of ground real quickly there. Did you say your idea for a JPA model would involve one ambulance in Willows, one ambulance in Coosa County with backfill ambulance to cover when the, I just want to make sure I understood that.
Yeah.
So say the Coosa County. No. Say the Coosa County ambulance rolls. There'll be a second ambulance based in Coosa County to be put into service or what?
The best deployment strategy I think would be to have two stations, one station here in Willows and one station in Coosa County, most likely Williams because of the access for the I-5 corridor and over there over to Coosa for the most populous. Have two stations. Have a primary 911 where you have 24-hour staff personnel. So there'll be four total personnel between two ambulances. Have backup ambulances parked there with all of the gear. Have trained personnel. Have a whole process where you can call back, gauge them out, maybe set up a system where you have staff on call for that day, and they do a siphon or something, $50 a day, and they answer the call when it comes out. You report it at the station, 10, 15 minutes, whatever, and staff
sure.
The second ambulance, so when that next 911 comes in. Or even if a lot of times calls come in simultaneously, you dispatch out the second crew prior to arrive at the station.
So a backup ambulance in each county, basically, is what you're talking about.
Yeah, you have at least four ambulances.
Okay.
Okay,
very good. All right. Very good. You answered my questions. Thank you. thing. And I just want to say thank you, Chief Peabody, for your attention to this detail and for bringing it up. It's obviously vitally important. So.
Well, this is one of those situations that even though you can't touch it, it's going to be here. And it's going to be a situation that is going to affect us at one point or another. And it's going to be huge for the community.
Well, thank you for being proactive. Definitely. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's all I have.
Larry, do you have anything?
Well, I know you've been working on it for a long time. I know that. Because when was that other meeting in Thunderhill? Was that September?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that
so
was.
So you were working on it way before then.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I agree, and I've heard you talk before, and I agree with everything, and I just...
I started over a year ago trying to replace the ambulances in Coosa because they're about 15 years old with 400,000 miles. They break down pretty rarely. That was my initial project getting involved in all this.
And me being 62 years old, I'm all for it.
So. Any other questions for me?
About you, Jim?
Andrew, now, your background, you're out of Colusa, is that what?
I mean,
because I'm trying to figure out the equation between Colusa and Glenn County. Is it something that we have to go into a JPA with, or we worry about our own, or, I mean, where do we go? Maybe the fire chief can figure this one out.
Well,
I mean, have we reached out to, I know, Andrew, you have said you talked to some of their leaders, which is kind of falling on deaf ears at this point in time.
Well, the situation as I foresee it is the geographical size that we're looking at. Colusa County, because of the miles that they cover, they almost need to have two ambulances just because of the miles and the time you go to Stony Ford, back to Colusa, wherever. Saying that the helicopter is always available is not the case.
Right.
As you've noticed this year, we've had quite a bit of fog, so everything's going by ground. So I don't think we can depend on helicopters all the time. But saying that, because of the money and the situation that's between both counties, I think we need to look at it as a regional situation. Yes, we need to take care of ourselves, but I think there's a bigger issue out there than just Willows.
Oh, correct. I'm talking more of a like you said, it is a county issue.
Right.
And we need to talk with our other county leaders on the supervisors. But if we're not getting anywhere with Colusa at this point in time, and they're gonna see the realization in a few months. Is it something that we can sit back and wait for them to actually come on board and say, okay, hey, there is a problem? It may take months until it's like Caltrans. You know, you wait for something to happen before they actually come up with a solution. I mean, we're trying to be proactive and come up with a solution before the problem gets here.
Right.
So. How do we bring them on board and force feed them your ideas?
Well, realistically, your problem here, Willis, is already here.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
A good part of the day to transfer.
Right.
And you don't have any backups. They're going to realize that obviously very soon.
Yeah, he said.
I've met with one supervisor for the county, and I don't think she really understands the gravity of the situation. I don't think she can comprehend it. That's my personal opinion. I met with the CEO of the hospital.
Yeah, correct. I agree with that.
But I think coming from leadership, I'm Joe Nobody. I'm a guy who used to work for the largest ambulance company in the nation, and I have my experience, but I sound like I know what I'm talking about, but I'm still Joe Nobody. I don't hold a position or whatever, and I don't approach them as folks who like, okay, who are you again? So I think if you come to them from the city of Willows or the county of Glenn and say, look, we have some issues here. We've seen this over the last few years. We see what's going to be happening with you guys real soon. How about we start conversations now, 2 months before this stuff hits you, just so you can get on board and try to get some sort of solution going before this gets to be a big problem. We will see the big problems. What Elena's talking about is going to be your helicopters are going to be overutilized. They're going to be inundated, and they're not going to be able to respond
Well, yeah, because I know that, you know, I mean, and the city manager can attest to this, is we tried to set up a JPA for central dispatching, and we were, what, 18 years out? I think it's been 18 years of idle conversation and...
20 plus.
Is it 20 now? Yeah. And so moving in the process of a JPA and any centralized dispatching or bringing other entities together, especially in this region, is a slow, tedious process, actually one that goes more backwards than forwards. It's proven itself. City manager, so they're smiling, but he knows that I'm absolutely correct. So if we can get this rolling, maybe the centralized dispatch will have another rebirth, we should say. I think it's every...
Well, this is all, I mean, this is, they kind of intermixed together.
They do. As soon as you start saying that, I've sat on those meetings, and we've city manager and I have sat there for years, and I think he came up with a very good and valuable idea on how these JPAs, you know, we're not going to reinvent the wheel. I think we have something that he had brought up that would be very acceptable to how we want to do it or that next step that we need to take. I mean, you know, we can do it. It's there. Maybe this is what we need. This is our eye opener that we need to do. I don't know. We got to do something. Well, it's a thing of not wanting to lose control. It's a control issue. And nobody wants to lose control. Everybody wants to have the control of it. So up until the time that the ego's left at the door and you come forward with a viable solution, you're going to be pulling teeth. I mean, it is. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. So I have nothing else, Mr. Mayor.
Jeff, you get any questions or
no,
anything
I
you
think
want to
I've
add?
Had mine answered. I appreciate your time and your expertise, and thank you, Chief.
Okay, thanks, Andrew. Anyone from the public have any questions they'd like to ask on this? Okay, so let me get it straight. Right now, Enloe has an ambulance here in Willows.
Enloe is providing services here in Willows.
Now, who's the provider in Colusa County?
Enloe as well.
Okay. That's what I wanted to make sure. And so they're cutting out one ambulance.
They're cutting down, downsizing, basically. Half of an ambulance.
Half an ambulance. Okay. Okay, so we talked about a JPA. That was one suggestion.
Yes.
Does staff have some recommendations on a path forward on this?
I think my recommendation at this point would be that maybe the Public Safety Committee could meet with the supervisors and discuss the issues locally and then urge them to start talking regionally, hopefully break down this wall of the kingdoms that are built, and let's all work together to solve these issues that affect all of our communities. Because when there's a 911 call, there are no jurisdictions. We all respond as needed.
Right.
And we need to act that way accordingly.
Does anyone know, maybe there's a member in the audience that knows, does the Board of Supervisors have any kind of a public safety committee, or is that just strictly through the Sheriff's Department? Any idea? Anybody?
I don't know that the board has, but they have some standing committees.
I don't think I've seen one on their list for that.
They have some specifically assigned committees.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. No, I was just, I'm glad the Chief mentioned that because I was sitting here writing notes just before Wayne mentioned that. I would definitely be willing to I think it would be a good tactic to utilize the Public Safety Subcommittee, Jim and myself, for this task, and I'm definitely interested and would like to work with the chief and the board chair, vice chair on this and get something rolling, so definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'd like to, I would, again, go to my city manager and try to pull that model out of the mothballs and at least see how we can adapt it, see if we can bring it back, bring at least a conversation back, have something that Gary and I and Chief and stuff can at least go and say, this is why. This is what we need to do. We need to come together collectively again and try to make this work. We have new administrations, we have new boards, we have new committees, we have everything new, and maybe this is the time. It just might be. This might be the scare that'll make it work.
And Andrew, do you have a JPA model from a other jurisdiction you might be able to bring up to?
Okay.
So we can pull a couple models together for you.
So what we're looking at, one thing I learned, I'll be a little facetious, but I'm very serious. One thing I learned a long time ago as a chair is you learn to delegate. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy. Well, the Public Safety Subcommittee, you guys with the chief, city manager, whoever else, start meeting and reach out, talk to the supervisors, look at some ways of coming up with a solution to keep providing a high level of service for our citizens. And like you say, it's not just City of Willows, it's also Glynn County residents. And really, I've never looked at, even here as city council members, I've never looked at us just representing those inside the city limits, the 6,200 people there. I look at a large area. I mean, really, you could draw a 10-mile circle around Willows, and those people would say they live in Willows. Basically.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, what Andrew was mentioning, and I know Jake Jacobs is in the audience, and he was out there working together many years ago. Don't worry, Jake, I'm not going to put you on the spot.
That's okay. Already did.
But back in the West Side ambulance days, I mean, they had a North County, South County ambulance staffed 24 hours a day, and there were backup ambulances staffed in each area of the county. So there were two backup ambulances, of course. Calls had to be made, and it took a little bit of time to get the folks ready. But, I mean, that concept was, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, that concept was working then. Obviously, it wasn't a JPA, but, I mean, obviously the JPA idea sounds very, very doable. So, but do we? I'll have plenty of time starting after Friday since I'm a short-timer at my day job.
Gary's retiring at the end of the month.
Friday's my last day.
So,
yay. I'll be more than happy to get with Jim after the meeting, and we'll get.
So
we'll
you'll
get
come some. Up with that half inch briefing binder for the rest of us.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. So
you bet. Okay. Half inch is gonna 2 inches.
2 inches. Yeah. Half inch.
Give us some briefing material.
Anyway, so the Public Safety Subcommittee, you two gentlemen will meet fire chief, city manager, whoever else from staff.
Yes.
Start meeting. Start up the talks with the county, supervisor, sheriff, whatever, and yes. Probably get a report back, maybe something in 2 weeks, but definitely in 4 weeks.
You'll have a report back next meeting.
Okay.
Yes. We're on it.
Chief, this originated years or decades ago, Denny Bumgars. And so that might be something that you probably see him on a day-to-day basis, or you may. May not. He may be one that we might want to let him bend our ear again, and because that's been his baby for 20 years. So I've been there since the beginning with him, and it's a recurring theme, and so we need to do something.
Thanks.
Okay. Let's just say, let me assure the council that. I have every confidence that the Chief Peabody and myself can, as early as tomorrow, be in touch with the Board of Supervisors chairperson and make sure that we have something in the works. I have every confidence in our ability to do that. So,
For those of you not in on the joke, the chairman of the Board of Supervisors is an actual city employee. He's the interim public works director. So I guess he's part-time, so I guess he's on duty on Wednesdays in the city council.
Yeah, he tries to make a daily appearance here. So
okay. So
and so far it's been working out very well. So
okay. So all right. Anything else from council on that? One more opportunity. Anybody from the public, you have any questions or concerns on this subject? No? If not, then we'll see what you guys can accomplish in the next few weeks.
Okay.
And I appreciate it, Chief Peabody, bringing this to our attention. And thank you, Andrew, for coming, giving your input. It helps to have an expert in the field talking to us on these issues. Not to slight you, Chief Peabody, but yeah. Yes, it is. So thank you very much. All right, moving on, next item, council member reports. Well, we have a listed there. We have a utility subcommittee update, myself and Vice Mayor Hansen. I guess I could start with that one. To give some briefing for the audience, utility subcommittee, there's several issues that Vice Mayor Hansen and I will be looking at on that. But the one we're looking at right now is a water main issue down at the south end of the city. You really can't tell on the map. It's just south of the canal. It's a Cal Water is our water provider here in the city. Their main lines down there are on Fern Street, I believe it is. They have a pumping plant down there. Anyways, it's an old line. It has some problems with leaks and capacity. With this chromium 6 issue that the city's facing, if you're not aware of, the state recently changed their chromium 6 standards, water quality standards, and as a result, Cal Water is implementing a filtration system for the water that they provide to the citizens. That they're going from 8 wells that they use for water supply in Willows down to 4 wells. One of the wells they'll be using, putting the treatment facilities on, is located down on Fern Street. So that will require a higher capacity for the lines down there. And so the city is looking at a way of funding that infrastructure improvement for that down there. So leading up, what it was Friday. City staff, it was Manager Holzinger, Interim Public Works Director Steve Soth, Vice Mayor Hansen and myself were the city reps. Cal Water, Rosanna Marino, and Jeff. What is Jeff's last name, the guy in Willows right now, the interim Cal Water guy in Willows? I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
Anyways, pardon me on that. So Cal Water, a lot of Cal Water staff and several representatives from the U.S. Department of Agriculture looking at some grant funding, loan funding options that we could pursue for that. It's a probably between $500,000 to $700,000 for this mainline replacement, this upgrade setup that we're looking at, hopefully trying to get a grant funding and possibly low interest, long-term loans on that. I think I'll turn it over to you, Steve, if you got any updates on that. That's what we're looking at. Some of it looks promising. Trying to get the USDA funding to fit. The one thing, though, is the federal money is going to be a slower delivery than what Cal Water's timeline is. They would like to have this up and completed by July, I think Rosanna said. I will say Cal Water has been very aggressive on this Chrome 6 issue. They went right into it, full-fledged, looking at developing this cutting-edge technology to use to filter out the Chromium 6 and implementing it. So kudos to them on that. They have an ambitious timeline. Again, as I said, they'd like to get this project out to bid, select the contractor, get the work going, and have this up and running by summer. That's ambitious. So that doesn't mesh very well with the funding timelines from the USDA. So on that note, Steve, anything you'd like to add to this?
Yeah, typically that's a little slower process, but the city does benefit from the fact that we have open loan status with USDA in the wastewater treatment facility. So they are familiar with us. They have taken a copy of our latest audited financial statements. they have reviewed that and responded. They had a few questions. Initially, they sought 100% grant funding on this water loop replacement extension. The real clarifier to this is the city has to own the system, and the city has to sponsor the grant. We have to apply for USDA funding. Cal Water cannot. They're not a municipal corporation. So the city has to apply and accept responsibility for the funding mechanism. That would require Cal Water to transfer ownership of that loop to the city to accept it and enter into a lease agreement to lease it back to them over a long period of time, and within the same type of agreement to articulate how the funding mechanism would pay the debt service on the loan, if there is to be a loan. Unfortunately, the good news was they were very receptive. They were very straightforward, the USDA reps. They thought that it was an excellent project, an excellent opportunity, and they thought we had a better than even chance of getting it funded. The bad news was it's not eligible for 100% grant funding, so there's going to be a substantial reduction in the amount of grant offset with some low-interest loan. And a low-interest loan with USDA turns out isn't really as low interest as one might think. So it's probably better than the general market, but it's not what I consider low interest loan. Nevertheless, they have to work that out. They have exchanged some information with Cal Water looking for the approved rate structures from the Public Utility Commission and how the offset would flow back to the City of Willows to pay the debt service. And they're in the process of working that out. So it's already underway. So there's a kind of a preliminary application process taking place. And as soon as we kind of get the preliminary draft together, the I's dotted, the T's crossed, and whatnot, then we'll be back before the full council seeking approval to submit the grant and/or loan in a combination and accept the system and work out the agreement details for making sure that there's enough revenue generated from the distribution of water to pay for the system and pay off the debt service. So that's where that stands. That's in the process. Initially, it was anticipated that with the increased capacity for serving the customers in the City of Willows, this mitigation effort could have reduced the impacts of Chromium 6 about $31 per month per resident. That's obviously not going to be the standard now, because when you factor in now that it's a loan process rather than a grant process, you're going to have to use a portion of those revenues to repay the debt service. So we're not going to be able to reduce the rate impact by $31, but there'll still be some substantial reduction, and probably the way it sounds, somewhere in the neighborhood of, I want to say, $15 to $20, which still is rather helpful. So that's what's happening with USDA on that front in Cal Water. And they always look at these things very favorably, because you have public, private, quasi-public, if you will, agreements coming together in a partnership for the benefit of the residents of the City of Willows.
Yeah, it's roughly a 45% grant. And then the remainder would be a loan. Like you said, the interest rate was 2-something to almost 4% rate. It depends. So it's a little better than out in the public. And like you said, one of the numbers Cal Water threw out is they're looking at probably $90 a month impact on the water, average water fees to the city customers from the Chrome 6 issue. And if this can take a little bit off, like you said, they figured 30 some bucks a month, just because you said 31.
Well, that was the original projection. It's
just for that line.
That much,
yeah. So yeah, this could knock 10 bucks a month off of that. So it's a big impact on the city, this whole Chrome 6 issue, as we've heard last year. And so this is positive news basically on it.
Yeah.
And city staff is going to work and get the kinks out. I'm sure the professor will get a chance to work his financial wizardry on this. I'm sure you just love those USDA grant things and stuff, don't you?
Yeah, the professor was whining this afternoon.
Yeah, just for the audience, yeah, we joke up here, but our finance director, Tim Salisbury, just really loves any of these federal forms. Ask him about the fire department doors, that the chief was bragging about at the fire department dinner, and I think he'll age you right in front of you when we talk about that. But anyways, be serious, though. City staff, you know, will be working with Cal Water and the USDA, so we have a positive outcome, somewhat positive outcome on this situation. Anything you'd like to add, Gary?
Yeah, sure, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, thank you. It was very refreshing that the Cal Water USDA Rural Assistance representatives that were here are very receptive and open to assisting us, and they have plenty of money that they would like to offer in the form of grant assistance. And in reference, so I asked the direct question on the you know, what percentage grant assistance we could receive, and it looks like, and currently the maximum, as you said, Larry, would be 45% if Cal Water is not found to be in Chromium 6 violation. So you know, so that's the caveat there. Currently they're not, and they don't want to be.
Don't want to be, yeah.
But that could change. And currently the loan, on the loan portion, it stands at 3% currently. It's 3% currently. So, you know, we were hoping to be a little better news, a little higher than 45% grant funding, but they are very receptive, and I also asked the question, are there any foreseeable roadblocks? And there are none. There are none. They don't anticipate any, which was good news. So they are ready and willing to help us out. So, and everything's moving forward between Cal Water, the city, and USDA.
Yeah.
So it was a very good meeting, very good productive meeting.
Yeah. One thing may come up is the USDA funding is slower than what Cal Water would like. So we may have to look at a bridge loan, I think was the term used. If so, that'll pop up in the agenda in the future. Just let you know. So anything else for utility subcommittee? Vice Mayor Hanson?
I think we covered everything.
That into you guys.
I think we covered everything, Larry.
So, all right, for other council member reports, wait, since Gary's on a roll.
Are you ready?
We'll talk Glen County Transit
and Transportation. Glen County Transportation Commission meeting and Rural Transit Committee meeting was held on January 15th, and I know Tim, the professor, is eagerly waiting to report. So I will defer to the new vice chairman of the Regional Transit Committee, Jim Yoder, for the report tonight. How about that?
Hey, well, I can only do the committee. I wasn't on the commission. When we did the committee, we did elect the chair and the vice chair, and Gary and I were the proud recipients of those positions. Coming into it, our main thing was when our meeting was for the fare increases, looking for what we're going to do. And years ago, when we had our system, and there's, you know, when there was so much money to go around, and money was plentiful at the time, and we had different services that were there. And then we came into this to our low where we had to cut service. We had to cut some services and figure out where our priorities lied and how we were going to fund those. So we did. And at that time, I think we talked to the transit people, and we said, hey, look, this is, you know, we want to be proactive in this. We don't want to find ourselves in this situation again. So as we did, you know, our fare box return needs to be is supposed to be at 10%. We're sitting at 16% right now, which is quite a bit over what we need to as a minimum to have. But in turn, we don't want to be in that position where we find ourselves we did 3 or 4 years ago, when we had to figure out what our priorities were on the services that we provided the community. So they came back to us this last session, and through the last committee, previous sessions that we had, they came up with a fare increase, which the schedule is going to be for March of 15th, which is we adopted it to April 15th, is in county where there's not going to be a proposed increase for single rides. For out of county, it's going to be a 50 cent increase, and for monthly pass, it's going to be a $5 increase. In January of 18, then the in county fare is going to be projected to go up 50 cents. And out of county is going to be another 50 cents. That in itself, taken into the projected decreases of people that may not take the ride anymore based on the fare increases that they have, all that's been projected in. But that was approved, so it will go into effect. And it's a proactive thing on the transits on their part. So It was something that we tasked them to do years ago, and they're keeping up for it, and they're going to keep us in the black through the ensuing years, I believe. So it's something that we needed to do. There was a little bit of protest on it, considering we do have a 16% fare box right now versus the 10. But it's something we don't want to find ourselves looking in the future saying, now what are we going to do? So that's where we're at. I think that was the nuts and bolts of it. I don't know if Gary has anything else.
No, yeah, Jim, that is. Yeah, it's a minimal increase, and it's the least painful for the public, but it needs to be done to stay ahead of operational costs. And, you know, we a couple of years ago were dangerously close to, well, we had to cut, we had to make some drastic cuts to services because of, you know, the increased operational costs. And right now we're also benefiting from the low fuel, temporary low fuel prices. But yeah, that's I think it's and it was unanimous vote to go with the those fee increases that Jim noted, and it is minimal, and you know it needs to be done. So and the staff was very proactive in recommending this also. So yeah, that's pretty much it, Jim. And then and just to add, you know, report out on the Glynn County Transportation Commission meeting. Really, the main item of interest was a report on the Regional Transportation Plan update, which is being formulated by a firm by the name of Green Dot. And it was roundtable discussion time and also audience participation to point out areas of hazard, you know, hazardous roadways, hazardous situations in reference to roadways and shoulders and intersections throughout the county. So most of us brought up several different you know, locations around the county that are dangerous, that need to be addressed, and those will be incorporated into the final report, which isn't even in draft form yet, but it's good information. And you know, and it's not just specifically you know, Willows, it's countywide. And one of the items that I brought up was, you know, Ord Bend, County Road 32 and State Route 45. It's a dangerous intersection, and there have been numerous traffic collisions there, and we don't want any more. But you know, but I mean, there are a host of different you know, hazardous situations around the county. I know Keith Quorum, also a member of the Transportation Commission meeting, his role as 4th District County Supervisor now, he was also there and brought up some issues. Jim brought up some issues. So it was very good. It was very good roundtable information that will go into that transportation plan ultimately. So, okay. And that was pretty much it on the Transportation Commission meeting. So,
okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
For members of the public, just a little more explanation in case you're not quite sure what we're talking about. Cities of Willows and Orland and the county, the three entities on the Transit Committee and Transportation Commission, that oversees the Glen Ride bus system and the Dial-A-Ride and volunteer medical system. And what they're talking about on the fare box return, it's federal and state funding to run that, but there's a requirement that 10% of the revenue has to be from the fares charged, you know, bus fares. And so, as Gary was alluding to and Jim were alluding to before, the county got into the situation where the fare return rate got too low, and then they had to play catch up to get above that 10%. So now county staff is looking, planning, projecting expenses, including bus maintenance, replacement, and fuel costs to stay above that 10% return rate. That's what's driving the increase in the bus fares that are going to into effect later this year. Anyone from the audience have any questions on this? So, anyways, thank you guys on that. Larry, did you have something you want to report out on?
Jeff and I were part of the ad hoc committee to meet with the chamber and discuss city funds to support chamber-sponsored events. In 7 pages, and I don't know if you guys want me to go over it. You want the short version and read this later?
You can give us the short version,
okay,
for starters.
Okay. The following is an ad hoc committee report and recommendation to the council on the guidelines for the use of city funds provided to the Willows Chamber of Commerce for yearly chamber-sponsored community events and community outreach. Jeff and I took in consideration the city manager's input, the former city council ad hoc committee's recommendations, which was to collaborate with the chamber and develop a more community-spirited methodology in funding support of specific chamber-sponsored community events held within the city of Willows. Also, we wanted to reestablish communication between the city of Willows and the chamber. So I'm going to kind of skip through this right to the point of it. Jeff and I came up with a recommendation. First, 50% of the annual funding, being 25%, will be exclusively earmarked for the annual fireworks event. Excuse me. The remaining funds, being an additional $2,500, will be exclusively earmarked for all other events and items that are on this attachment back here. There will be no stipulations will be placed in the chamber on how the said funds will be distributed, divided, or shared between these additional events. The amount of funds shared between these additional events are the sole responsibility of the chamber. The chamber will manage and disperse funds as needed for upcoming additional events and items. Basically, we don't want to micromanage and create more of a paper trail than needed. That's basically the sum of it. And attaches a list of the main item, which is the fireworks, which the city is going to support with $2,500. And the other $2,500 is going to be divided between these events down here, which is the craft fair, the business expo, the light parade, Santa's wishes, decorating contest, and also the car and bike show, because there's an explanation behind that. The chamber does get involved with that. Matter of fact, they're the point of contact when people are interested in a bike show. They take a lot of phone calls. It takes a lot of time. Also, the farmer's market. We're going to support that, too, because that's all about good health and good eating. The Lamb Derby and some of the outreach, which is the newsletter. The chamber sends out about 4,200 newsletters out. Is that what it is?
210.
What was the 4,200? Okay.
Every business in
the area. And we're gonna support the bulletin board and windows, which is in front of the post office, because we all know everyone puts ads in that for community events, like the craft fair, and the veterans will put stuff in there for yard sales and flea markets and stuff like that. And this whole report is explained and broken down in details. So any city council member after tonight wants to get together with me and Jeff, please do.
That wouldn't probably be an appropriate thing to do. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you shouldn't have three council members talking about an item that had been agendized and needs to come back outside of a public meeting.
Okay. Correct, because you would be polling your, you'd basically be polling as the city attorney. Listen, says, yep.
So they can take it home and review it, correct?
No.
So it has to be done tonight.
It should come back to the city manager's office, and then if necessary, the mayor and I could discuss it, but it should be re-agendized and then distributed to all of the council members, and then a discussion held in a public forum.
Okay, now what about everything that I just passed out?
Well, you shouldn't have.
We'll pass it back. So
you want to pass it back?
Yeah, we can do that. So, yeah. Jeff, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Jeff's had something, too.
Oh, well, actually... just to add to what Larry had said, one point was that I believe at the last budget meeting back in June, former Mayor Vince Hulvig had brought up a suggestion of having like a photo op of the city mayor or whoever it may be presenting the chamber with a, can you hear me, Rosemary? A check twice a year, $2,500 each time. That way the city gets credit for sponsoring some of the events in the city, and that way kind of build a relationship between the city and the chamber. We also thought that it would be a good idea to have a liaison between from the city council with the chamber to have a little bit better rapport and a little bit more better communications. So
okay, all right. So thank you. I know you're in the audience, Jamie, but we can agendize this for a future meeting.
We can if I get it.
Anticipate we'd formally accept the report? Or do we need
to
do that?
Well, you would have it on the agenda to approve.
To approve the report, okay, yeah. Then, of course, we got the allocation of the appropriation of the money. I guess you could say it's been appropriated, the $5,000. We just haven't expended that yet for this current fiscal year, correct?
No, you've expended $2,500.
Okay, that's right. All right, thanks.
Is that $2,500 for the past year?
The $2,500 was for the seasonal events of near Christmas, so the holiday season between, say, October and the end of the year, so the last quarter, October, November, and December.
So the next
was part of this fiscal year. It's part of the 14-15.
Yeah.
14-15.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we're on a fiscal year, which straddles their calendar year, if that makes for fun. Would we want to address this at our February 19th budget meeting or save it for regular city council meeting?
I don't know, but it's a budget meeting discussion other than we've already we have included in the budget the funding in the amount that the council had previously earmarked. Yeah. So, but we just need to get it back on a regular agenda so the full council can review and approve or amend the plan.
Does that sound good to everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you guys for doing that, working with the chamber. So, anything else you want to report out on, Larry?
Nope, that's it.
You have anything?
I have
other
nothing
reports?
Further, though.
How about you, Jeff? Nothing? I don't have anything to report out on. So, that being that, we'll move on. Next item on our agenda, we have a couple items under executive session. And there's two items. We have one, conference with legal counsel on anticipated litigation. Then we, item B, conference with labor negotiators. And those are listed on the agenda if you grab one of those. But I'd like to also add that pursuant to Government Code Section 54954.3, the public has an opportunity to directly address the City Council on those two items that we're considering under executive session. So this is your opportunity if you have any comments on these two items before we go into closed session. Does anyone wish to address us? No? If not, then we will adjourn the open session and move into closed session here. Thank you.